Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your word and thank you for your truth. We praise you. Thank you because you speak to us, you reveal to us, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the written word. We give you the glory. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we saw 6 different types of prayers in our last sessions. There are many different types of prayers. I'm not going to go to the Bible yet. I don't want to lose time. We've seen how there are different types of prayers through the Bible. And when you're praying, praising God, you're loving God. You're not thinking in what type of prayer you're doing. Simply you're flowing. But there are different types of prayers. One of the prayers that I believe you should use every day. Oh, thank you. Is the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration. Now, before going to the Bible, what does to consecrate? Something practical. To dedicate for a sacred purpose. Dedicate. So we can call it this way. The prayer of consecration or of dedication. Prayer of consecration or dedication. This prayer is very important. Because it will help you. Now, of course, since we're under the New Testament, also has a lot to do with the direction of the Lord. And you combine it with praying in the Spirit. But there are times where the Spirit of God will tell you to do something and you won't want to do it. Simply, you don't want to do it. You don't like it. You don't like what God tells you. But one clear example that we can see is in Matthew 26. And starting Sunday. Now, I haven't finished my Sunday series yet, just due to the motive of Holy Week. But we'll be seeing something on this. Matthew 26. 26, verse 36. Then Jesus came to them at a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over." And he took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Again, notice what he said. Verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. Prayed. Verse 36, he told the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray." Type of prayer then. Not as I will, but as you will. In other words, prayer of consecration. Is this, Lord, let your will be done and not mine. This has nothing to do, now I'm going to have to explain it because there will be people who will television or will listen on radio. And many Christians, God bless them, but they use this prayer when they're sick. And they think that God placed that illness on them to teach them something. They say, "Lord, let your will be done, that your will be done with this illness." And we're not talking about that. You have to be careful because that prayer does not apply. Your words have power, and more so you're going to give place to the devil with that. This is a prayer, a dedication, when the Lord tells you something. I'm going to say this. Just to back up the teaching or to better explain what I've been saying. And not that I haven't said it before, but if it were up to me, in my natural thoughts, I would not live here in Douglas. I live very comfortably because it's a small town, but I don't necessarily like the culture here. I would live in another place. I'd perhaps be with my pastors up in Ohio. I like the climate. It's cold over there. You think it's cold here, it snows over there. And many things I like. But that's where the difference, when God tells you to do something and you don't want to do it, God could indicate you which church to be in. This goes for all Christians who are listening in different places. Many Christians don't consecrate themselves. They always want to do what they want. They always walk in offense. They receive offense for any little thing. You know that there are things that you and I are not going to be able to change. Agree with the Mr. Trump and his terrorists or not, there's nothing that you can do. Best to pray than to be cursing him. You won't change the new government of Mexico. It's best to pray for Ms. Sheinbaum than to be cursing her and complaining. We weren't called to that. We live in another kingdom. You can disagree with the policies and the person, but what's the so good in cursing our leaders to take worse decisions? This is about Christians. The heathens will do whatever they do. They're children of the devil. They'll speak the way that their devil, the father, speaks. Amen, but that doesn't apply to us. The Lord will perhaps tell you to be in a place in a church that you won't like. So what are you going to do? Seek as many Christians. Oh, I'm going to go to a church where I'm more comfortably. And what if God didn't tell you that? Giving an example. And actually, one of the confessions that I do daily, speaking of consecration, which is why it said it's good to confess it every day. You'll take direction. It'll help you to take direction. Especially if you accompany with praying in the Spirit. Matthew 6:7, practically the same thing in my opinion. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. Oh no, apologies, it's not this verse. It's 6:10, my apologies. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you say, Father, I believe I am in your perfect will, that your will be done in my life on this earth as it is in heaven, meaning what God left written for you and for me. That's consecrate yourself. And when you, every day inside of your prayer, is this church, every day, the faith partners and people of this church, every day pray. Amen. Every day, they read their Bibles, at least 2 chapters. You already know. You don't read the Bible, nor do you pray or any of that to God bless you or for Him to love you. We don't do that. That's just dead works. But because we've understood and we have a revelation of how much God loves us and of who we are in Christ, then prayer is a way of connecting and speaking. Amen. With your Heavenly Father. So every day it's good because you also need an element of faith when praying that. So every day when you say that by faith, you say that you're using prayer of faith or confession of the word, and you're praying the prayer of consecration. Remember how I told you there will be times where you'll be praying and flowing in 3 or 4 different types of prayers. One of the prayers that I want to reach and explain, good thing that we're touching on this one as well, but it's the prayer of supplication. There are a way of praying based on the New Testament. You'll be astounded at how Christians, a great error in the prayer of supplication. Oh, I'm getting too deep into that. I'm not going to talk on that. I'm going to stay on this. Once we reach that point, I'll explain it. If you consecrate yourself every day in faith, remember, consecration is in faith, and then based on who you are in Christ, amen, But did I tell you on who you are in Christ? Amen. And you speak every day, Father, thank you that I am your perfect will. I walk in your perfect will according to Matthew 6:10. Father, your will is done in my life. And I hear from you and I do your will. What you want, not what I want. Every day, you know what's going to happen? And you accompany it, bring in the Spirit. Where you need a change, or there's another word that I'm looking for. Where you need correction, that's where the correction will come from. The Spirit of God will help you. Kyle's arrived early here at church. And I spoke with a pastor who invited me again to go to the Phoenix area. And I spoke with another pastor before him. And that pastor is about to throw in the towel. He's very disappointed, very discouraged, because he says, we need help and the people aren't involved. The church, and almost crying. That perhaps I'm going to let all this go. And I was encouraging the word. Those types of Christians, speaking of this pastor who was telling me that, or those people in his church, are the ones that need consecration. Another way that you can associate with consecration is this: commitment. And I'm going to tell you what I told this pastor. I said, look, brother, all those people that you're speaking, you know why they don't have a commitment there with the local church? Because they don't have a commitment with God. You cannot make a commitment with anyone, nor with any church, wherever you are, up until you do not have a commitment with the Lord. When you make a commitment with Him, you consecrate yourself, you dedicate yourself to Him, then it'll be easy to have a commitment. Amen. And you'll respect and you'll honor where God placed you. You know why I'm still with the ones that brought me from faith? Because I've consecrated myself to the Lord. When you have a consecration with the Lord, you have a consecration with them. And I'll show you in the Bible here a story, a very interesting story of a king who ruled over at a very young age, but he died very young as well. And it was because he did not consecrate himself and did not honor the people whom God had placed in his path. By the grace of God, all of us are where we are, and we can give glory to the Lord. But also, if you notice, God will always use people. And if you and I only remember who we are 20, 25 years ago, before listening to this word, and where we are to this day. Amen. In other words, that I shared was what? Commitment. Amen. Commitment. So you won't have a commitment with anyone up until you don't have a commitment with the Lord. Because it's the Spirit of God who will guide you and direct you. And like it or not, this is if you love God and you want to please Him and you want to obey God, you will submit. Notice, if you notice here in the story of Matthew, now in we were in verse 39, correct? Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And a second time he went and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. So what was happening? Was the Lord disobeying God or something? If you understand the story, probably you have been here for years, you know what was happening. He was about to die, about to be crucified. It's not that the Lord was scared of the Romans, of the whippings, or of the nails. Oh, I don't want to be nailed. It's because for the first time he would separate from the Father. They had been one from the eternal past until that moment. And for 3 days, as we've studied, for 3 days, for three nights, his spirit, the body, and his spirit died, literally. The body was placed in a tomb, but the spirit went down to hell for 3 days, three nights, as we've studied. But Jesus was going to be separate. Our Lord didn't want to. Do you think he wanted? Do you think he was joyful? Let's see if it says it. Verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to jump and to scream of joy. And so someone would say, what verse is he reading? What verse is Brother Hughes reading? Verse 9. He was saddened and sorrowful. It wasn't the whipping of the Romans. It wasn't the nails or anything like that. It was that he would be separated from God. So there are times, there are things. There will be times, many, throughout your life where the Lord will indicate something. He'll indicate, tell you perhaps to stay in a place and you won't want to, as he indicated me. Again, if it were up to me, I wouldn't be here. Again, I wouldn't even be behind this pulpit. I have other things to do. Glory to God. And you know what's helped me to obey that? I do this every day. I do this prayer. Thank you, Lord. I walk in your perfect will. I am in your perfect will. Your will is done in my life. What you want, not what I want. And then I say this. They make my heart pure and holy before you. My heart, I refer to my way of thinking. That all my motives are correct. What I do is only with the motive of pleasing you. Not trying to please others, not out of pressure of others, but that my heart is holy and pure before you. And you know what? It'll help you to find your place in the body of Christ. You won't be competing with anyone. You won't be mad with anyone. You won't have anger against anyone. You'll be in peace. Hallelujah. Is Jesus enough for you? That's the first thing we're going to see in that series, Jesus, the Son of God. Now, let's see the story here. Quite interesting. Start searching for 2 Chronicles, verse chapter 24. We're going to start reading. Follow along because there are important points here that I have to share. Follow along. 2 Chronicles, well, before reading, when we read the story, you'll realize and understand more how important it is to consecrate. The important. Wait, did I tell this pastor? You know what happens to those people? They're not consecrated. Well, we can all learn from something. But it's best to learn from the word. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 24. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. 7. And he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. You know why this verse says this? Because he died at 47 years of age. But why? Why did he die at such a relatively young age? Well, let's follow along. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right. Notice how this starts. The right, when it says right, is something good or bad? Something good. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. You know what this word, this name is? Jehovah knows. This was a fearful man of God. And Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites. Notice how verse 4 says, now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on restoring the house of the Lord. It means he was consecrated to the Lord. He dedicated himself and had a relationship with God. And apart from that, the priest helped him. He was a holy man that helped him. He was his principal advisor. That is hard on repairing the house of the Lord. Is that good or is that bad? That's good. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out of the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king, Jehoiada, called Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, of the assembly of Israel for the tabernacles of witness? Remember, this story is in Exodus. Many years passed. Moses was many years dead already. And Joash brings a subject. How interesting. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, have broken into the house of God. If we have the time, we'll see a bit on this woman. And I was also presented all the dedicated things, dedicated, consecrated things, selected things, committed things to the house of the Lord, to the Baals, or in this case, idols. Then at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, has imposed on Israel in the wilderness. One of the things that we can see here, notice verse 9. That Moses, the servant of God, had imposed. In the original King James here. The way that it sounds in Spanish is like they force you to do something. Now under the New Testament, we don't forcefully give. Either you give tithe, offering, we give. We give because we love God. We give with joy from our hearts because that's how God receives offering. Amen. And when you do it, once you do it, now you believe that God blesses that seed and the laws of sowing and reaping start operating in your favor. Now, in this time, it was correct because it was in the time that they lived in. Then all the leaders of the people rejoiced. Notice how, although this was imposed on them, they were joyful. This is good. It's good. Amen. I've seen in this week, part of this week, many types of boxes, big boxes. And I tell Nubia, are all those boxes? What are those boxes? Oh, it's the tables and the chairs that we're going to be putting. It's the new equipment that we're having. And many types of boxes, big boxes, not small ones, big ones. And we're joyful for that. Hallelujah. The many projects to come. So it was at the time when the chest was brought to the king's officials by the hands of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, that the king's scribe and the high priest officers came and emptied the chest and took it returned to its place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. But the money here is not about money, more so it's about the heart. Because how is it that a person like Joash left so ugly and ended up dying so young and betrayed by his own servants? There's something important then in consecration and not using the grace of God as debauchery, but as freedom. Now, of course, there are people who use the grace of God as, oh yeah, it doesn't matter what we do. Yeah, God loves you the same regardless of your actions. But the consequences will come from the devil. And that judgment will come. Judgment under grace. God will not send you illnesses. And God is not the one that causes illnesses. Many Christians are going through things, illnesses. God bless them. They think that God placed that illness on them to teach them something because he's punishing them. If it were that way, then why would we pray for you? The devil is the author of all cursing and evil. But there are people who open doors to the devil and give him opportunity due to their disobedience. Not that every illness is exactly a door open or disobedience from people. There are other causes as well. But don't never use the grace of God to walk in licentiousness, but walk in freedom. The true grace of God inside of you, combined with the faith of the Lord Jesus, will make it to where you are a better Christian, a better disciple, prays more, who gives more, comes to church more, who serves better, etc., not less. Now I read verse 12, right? The king of Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and all those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. Glory to God. So the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them. They restored the house of the Lord to its original condition and reinforced it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada. Notice here how it mentions the king and Jehoiada. Why? Because for years, Jehoiada was by his side. And Joash would listen to the wisdom that was in him. But something happened. Something happened. They made it articles of the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offering. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king, and they made from it articles, house of the Lord, articles for servings and offerings, spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually, all the days of Jehoiada. And always, there was always something. Something would finish, but there was always the next project. 13 and 14 tells you. 15, but Jehoiada grew old and was full of days. And he died. He was 130 years old when he died. 130, that's quite an age for the time that they were in. You remember by this time, David, the king, had already passed. If I'm not mistaken, the Bible says that he died of 70 years. And he buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and his house. Now something happened. 17. After the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Something happened here. You have to understand, you and I read this in minutes, but from verse 1, that it says Jehoiada was 7, by this time years had gone by. Joash was already an adult. He wasn't a 7-year-old kid anymore. Look, brothers and sisters, something very important here. You always have to understand, especially when you're listening to something. If I give you only verses, just verses, and you come here and I tell you, go to this verse, go to this other verse, and go to this verse, and go to this other verse, and this other verse, and we read them, I'll give you only knowledge. because you'll know where they are. Wisdom is when you know what to do with that knowledge. But there's another important thing. These three words are important. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You can read a verse and interpret it however you want to interpret it for yourself. But in reality, it's not what it means most of the time. Which is why there has to be understanding. Remember, the Lord said, he who reads, understand. Now, you have a situation, something personal for yourself. You read the Bible, and God will speak to you, and you can interpret something or have an understanding for yourself. But there are many different things here when they become doctrines sometimes of certain ways of understanding the Bible. This is about understanding. Now, do you remember one of the grounds that there are of the Lord Jesus that spoke in Matthew? Leave those on the side of the road. They hear the word, but they don't understand it. And when they don't understand it, the devil comes and robs that seed. How important it is to understand. Leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king, what did they offer? Obedience. The king listened. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. What did the king do? He listened. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. In my opinion, Joash should have had this verse there on his fridge. Or on the mirror of his bathroom. Do not be deceived. Now help me with the New Living Translation. Do not be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. The Bible indicates to us, not just with that verse, but with this story that we're seeing and what we're going to continue reading, that Joash forgot, and not just forgot, but did something that, in my opinion, and yours as well, he did something very perverse here. And there was a heart that lacking gratitude.
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing a religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. Therefore they left the house of the Lord and their fathers and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judea and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Years ago, Joash loved God and the house of God. Again, read it. I want you to see this. In verse 5. Verse 4. Now it happened that after this, Joash set his heart to repair the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites, said to them, go out to the cities of Judah, gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and set that you do it quickly, the temple of God. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. The king did not like this, so he said, so the king told Jehoiada, the chief priests, why do you have not required the Levites to bring in the Judah from Jerusalem, the collection for the tabernacle of witness? 8. At the king's command, they made a chest. Joash was interested in the work of the Lord. Oh, forgive me. Joey's winning me over. Is that fine? Because Joey won me over here. There were people here, and I don't know if it's... what I was speaking with this pastor, it gave me so much compassion. That Brother Hughes, there are people here we've helped, them and their families. We helped them move forward. We've prayed for them. We helped matrimonies. And now, they've forgotten. Said, yeah, there are times that we're living in. But look at this. How will it be possible that Joash, I mean, remember, people were hungry for the word. Oh, the word was first. The word. Nowadays, there's so much to watch. But we're being dedicated, guided. How is it that Joash forgot about this? He is the one that put in that effort. He's the one that said, I want the temple of God to be every year. No, he forgot. That also indicates then how there is anointing. There's an anointing God places. Then we depart, which is why I'm not dumb. I continue in my mind with those whom I continue honoring them. See the video that's in English section, that one that Kayla recorded, promoting Brother Copeland's book. Thousands of people have watched that. I'm not promoting my book, I'm promoting his book. Therefore they left the house of the Lord and of their fathers and served wooden images. The wrath came upon Judea and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Now, although what was happening here, you can see a grace of God, although they weren't in the time of it. But in the Old Testament, there were things where God permitted things, but other things where he did it. Because again, our Lord Jesus had not come. But notice, read again. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. an immediate cursing didn't come. We can still see the mercy of God here, even in the first covenant. I'll teach you to see a God of grace, the Lord told me in August 2011, from Genesis to Revelation. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Nowadays, there are many children like that. God is patient. God is merciful. And He wants all men to repent. Heathens come to the Lord. Christians who are lost, cold, with wrath, anger, doing whatever they want. God wants them. God is merciful. But they wouldn't listen. Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord? So that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, He also has forsaken you. Now glory to God," it says in the New Testament, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." But when a child forsakes God, God doesn't forsake him, but they are giving place to the devil, which is why it's good to dedicate ourselves. Don't listen to this word consecration so religiously, because you'll remove the truth from here. Listen to it from a biblical way. So they conspired against him, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. And at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. He reached the point where he killed the son of his mentor. Zechariah and Joash grew up together. He was the king. And the priest, Jehoiada, was like a father to Joash. So Zechariah was like a brother for him. But he forgot what the family had done. What had they done? Good thing that you ask. Right there in 2 Chronicles, a page or two in your Bible. 2 Chronicles 22. Follow along here. Verse 10. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, that perverse woman mentioned. And you know what? Joash, we saw that in 24:7, for that wicked woman. And now Joash was acting as wickedly as her. So Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead and arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him, and he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. As a baby was protected, the Lord protected, using the priest, Jehoiada, took care of him. And then look at what happened here. I'd love to read all of chapter 23, 2 Chronicles 23. A year later, this would have to be, that the Bible reads here, 24, that he was 7 years. Verse 11. And they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, Joash. Put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons among anointed among them, Zechariah, and said, long live the king, etc. You'll read this later. All of chapters 20 through 24. Wow. Killed the son of his mentor, him who had protected him from the death of his child, baby. That's how betrayal is. So thankful to the Lord for my mentors in the faith. And thankful to the Lord for people who used other people. Some time ago, I mentioned some things that I did there in the area. Pastor Bañuelos, who was before Pastor Gutierrez, 90 years, and went with the Lord. His family called, Movie and I. We had a good relationship. How is it possible that Nuvia and I can have relationship with people from years ago? Because we learned honor. We've learned to be grateful with God and with the people that God has placed in our. You know the issue with many Christians? They don't like something, but God sometimes doesn't send us people to judge them or to agree with them or not. Verse 22, thus Joash the king, aren't you thankful with the spirit that he left disregarded? Did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, the Lord look on it and repay. And one of the things that Pastor Bañuelos would do even just a time ago, he would call me and would tell me, what did you do in this week? Especially if it was a Friday or Saturday. Remember, Nubia? What'd you do? Well, I went to continue serving the Lord. Continue serving God. Ever since I was 17 years, I've been serving the Lord. Told me. And what else did you do? You know, I don't like to lie. I said, well, apart from church, we did some recordings. But what else did you do? Well, I went to Sierra Vista to a party of the Republican Party. Don't be involved in that. And he'd scold me. Old man, scolding through the phone, and sometimes I'd put it on speaker, and I'd come out from the bedroom, and I'd put it so Anubia could hear, and she'd say, "How cute." And the man was mad, and he'd scold me because he would still proclaim at me as his spiritual son. And Sister Juanita still alive, 86 years old, 88. You will no longer see that. You don't see that almost anymore. Now it's easy to forget about burning on. You know why there's no dedication? There's no fear to God. And then he'd call me again. I tell Nubia, why does he always call me when I went to a meeting of the Republican Party? And Nubia said, well, don't tell him. Well, no, pay attention. It's not like, oh, well, no, you shouldn't ask. It was more so like, well, don't ask me in the sense of like, I'm not going to lie to him. And he'd ask me again. Oh, my God. And again, another scolding. I could have been of those people lacking honor, disrespecting and saying, well, what do you care? And just hang up or something. There were times where, specifically, I went on a Friday. Specifically on a Friday, even Anthony would go with me sometimes. Would go and leave some honey. What else? Chorizo, pork chorizo that he liked. some years ago. Oh, remember, the man 90 years old, some already turned time of age. You know, certain doctrines we wouldn't agree on, but I was never speaking like that. I never disrespected him. But it was those who would say, we shouldn't eat pork. The Bible says that pork, this and that or the other, the pork is a dirty animal in God, and he'd make specifically Old Testament verses. And one time I took some chorizo. Didn't tell him it was pork. remember, the meal's already sanctified. And then sister made some for him, and oh man, what good chorizo. You like it, Pastor? Like it? Give me more, woman. And you know, you made more. Pastor Bañuelos, did you like it? Not gonna lie to you, but after getting it, but it's pork. He just looked at me. The Lord told Peter not to call unclean what I have called clean. He'd comb his hair to the back. He had a giant forehead, and he was sitting down. I was about to come back. Instead of the forehead for something, but to leave, going back home, he would pray, take his hand, give him a kiss on his hand and on his forehead. I did the same thing with Pastor Gutierrez. Face. I will honor those who honor me. You know what Vicente Mora did one day when I took him a few months before my pastor was about to leave? He did not know him, and he wanted to meet him. Pastor Arnoldo, this is Pastor Vicente. He'd like to meet him. Oh yeah, come on, bring him over. Pastor Mora went into his house. And you know, Vicente doesn't talk. He always screams. He's always yelling. He just always at 11. One time, I thought when we were keeping him at the house before buying the property in the front, you know, we kept him there, and he arrived. It's just he came in without asking, came in and said, I'm going to stay in Anthony's room. I said, okay. So Anthony had to lend him his room. And from there, that sometimes the door was closed. I thought he was fighting with his wife, but no, he was just talking on the phone or just talking with his wife. He always screams, always yelling. Then one day he went out. And he got out and he said, Ignacio, Pastor Hernand sends you greetings. When did you talk with him? Just right now. Oh, glory to God. And one day I didn't want to have dinner at one of those services. I said, no, I told Nubi, oh man, I'm already very tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. And I lied down, supposedly, to sleep. And I closed the door. Everything was already off. And then from the kitchen, somebody had gone to my house. I said, Nuvia, where's Ignacio? I said, oh my God. And I put my pillow over my ears. And oh, he's already tired. And how is he not going to have dinner? Ignacio, you could hear him. But you know what? Vicente Mora did. With Pastor Gutierrez. Comes in. Goes to the living room where he was without knowing him. But he arrives. Vicente arrives. It says, Brother Gutierrez, an apostle of faith. He comes in to where my pastor was. My pastor was sitting down. Pastor Gutierrez was sitting like this with a cane, and he had some tennis on. He knelt down, took off his tennis, took off his socks, and kissed his. And he was like this. And he looked up and told Buster, blessed are the feet of those who preach the peace. And his feet are blessed for. How about you? You just, oh, I don't like this church. He offended me. They speak of this and the other. It's normal. And then I'll be speaking on the series of Saving Your Soul. speak of persecution. It's normal. Sometimes it's normal. The devil, it's the devil through the people. But we have to continue. When they criticize you because of too much church, this and the other, and they're fanatics, and how do they say they suck out your money, and the pastor keeps all the money? Well, man, it'd be so good, huh? And always ask these foolish people, hey, and if pastor always kept money, then how do we pay for the light and everything that we pay for, and we pay radio and television and employees and everything that needs to be done? Best to tell them, on the contrary, pastor and his wife are the ones who give the most in the kingdom. I don't do it for anyone to praise me, just to share the truth. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada did his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, "The Lord look on it and repay." Well, look at what happened. 23. So it happened in the spring of the year that the army of Syria came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people. Lord, I was just remembering. Again, Esther Mora. He makes you laugh all you don't want to with certain things he says. When we were at the house the last time that he came, now this time I had him at the other house, and we took him to Wilcox. And I think again, like perhaps one of the timers there. One of that we used to have, then it's on the screen, but we used to have those old style timers. You know what I'm referring to? That I have a timer there. And I left him there at the house in the front. I said, "I'm going to go to my house." And we were just talking, and I said, I have one there at church. I can give it to you. And they got off and said, and when I went there to park my truck and got off, and again, I was walking, it's exactly 99 feet from the door of my house to the other one, about 30-something, in the same property. As I was walking, well, although it's my house, but they're still there, I knocked on the door and they didn't open yet. And then suddenly I just hear yelling. I said, I'll be right there. And he comes out. He opened the door, wrapped up in a towel. He was showering. And he said, "Oh, come on in." And I said, "No, it's fine. I just came to leave this here." Only he's like that. What is verse 23? Spring of the year, army of Syria came up against them, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed all the leaders of the people from among the people and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. When was this? The spring of the year. It didn't happen right then and there, but judgment is everything done. You can see it here. 24, for the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men. Small company. There wasn't many. But the Lord delivered a very great army into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of the fathers. Meaning the army of Joash was very great in number, and Syria's was small in number. But even with that, they were conquered. You could see God was no longer with them. They had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. And when they had withdrawn from him, for they left him severely wounded, they didn't kill him, they wounded him. They let him suffer. His own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest, and killed him on his bed, though he died. Where were they then, those who betrayed him? Where were the priests and all those people that went against him? You know what? I'll tell you something. When you betray, and you go with others, other traders, eventually they will betray you. It does not fail. Because it's seed. And they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. God had left him. Dishonor came. And there was dishonor up to his burial because they did not bury him with the kings, which was their custom. Dishonor him, followed him up until the grave. These are the ones who conspired against him. The Bar, the son of Shimeth, the Ammonites. Remember those? Jehoshabad, the son of Shimeth, the Moabites. Sons of Lot, who were product of incest. Lot had sexual relations with his own daughters. Tremendous. Now concerning his sons and the many oracles about him and the repairing of the house of the God, indeed, they are written in the annals of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. See, so many stories like this of consecration. Did you learn something of the prayer of consecration? It's good to consecrate ourselves. It's good that you prayed every day. That prayer, God will use it and will bring you correction. The Spirit of God will bring you correction. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord.
Glory to God. Dedicate all of our lives towards the Lord. So, today I was talking with Juanita, Brother Bañuelos' is. And I was to her that you could tell how much they love the Lord because she was joyous and singing just old hymns. And in our conversation, just giving us thanks for accompanying them, how they loved us and how thankful they are to see us, to have been able to see us. And you can tell it's from their heart. And she would say, and the way that Pastor Bañuelos had left is they had prayed because with the Lord already 9 current 7 and 88, and she would say no one and nobody and anyone will separate me from the love of the Lord. 87 years just had buried her husband. Nobody's going to separate from the love of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And haven't they consecrated their life to the Lord? Everything they did, they did it for the Lord because they loved the Lord. They loved the work of the Lord, the people. I think you and I too. And I'm glad that as a majority vote, you all decided on this consecrating teaching, because it's important that we dedicate it and to compromise our lives and give it to the Lord. Is our healer. He wants for you and I to be healthy. On Sunday, you're going to see the picture of the church we used to go to when we were younger. The Lord wants the best for us as His children, but He requires that we dedicate. And if Jesus did, why shouldn't you and I do it? If Him, being the Son of God, consecrated His life and said, Lord, let it be mine, we should follow the example of Jesus Christ. Him being rich became poor so that with his we could be enriched in all areas. We need to consecrate our lives and compromise it, commit. And as my husband said a few while ago, Lord, make my heart pure and holy before you. And even our finances are going to align when we dedicate lives to the Lord. Because he's going to tell us how to teach, how to sow, and the harvest. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And we see here what the Lord wants, but there needs to be a commitment towards that. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Having everything in abundance, that's what he wants for you and I. For us not to live in a financial lack, that we have everything and more than enough sufficient. Genesis 12:2. Before you and I go to that verse, for you and I to be able to believe the promises, we need to know the promise, because we can't put our faith is something we don't know. So when we know the perfect will of God, it's super easy to dedicate us, to consecrate us, to learn them, to know them, to receive them, to meditate them, so they can be flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, so that there could be a revelation in our hearts. And then we're going to trust the Lord. And then we'll know, when we know the perfect, we can, that his promises are true, that they are yes and amen. Genesis 12:2. And this is the promise that God gave Abraham. And I will make a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be blessing. And you shall be blessing. How many times people ask us, and we say, blessed. Someone asks us, how are you? And we say, blessed to bless someone. There is a base on a biblical base. But are we willing to be of a blessing? If we say, I'm blessed to bless, blessed in our father Abraham, father of faith, we are descendants of Abraham. So then that promise that was given to Abraham belongs. And if we join those, what Genesis 12:2 says, with what we just read in 2 Corinthians, we need to be always willing to be a blessing, to believe and understand that we have been blessed to bless, not to withhold blessings, the provision of the Lord, but to bless everyone else. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Read it in your Bible. Open your Bible. See what the Bible says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things. Always having. See that. You and I, as children of God, we need to shred the word. We need to shred it. Having, always having. In all things, all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We have been blessed to bless. We are blessed, so that it may we have an abundance in all good work, so that we could be in abundance and blessing to someone else. And you can say, well, I don't have any. And right now, I'm going through a hard time. And right now, I'm not fully blessed to bless. And you can see it in that moment as a fact. But facts are subject to change through the Word of God. Sometimes we could say, reality is that I don't have it. The truth is that the Word of God, the truth is superior to any fact that you are going through. But everything needs to come to you. And that way of thinking needs to, through the Word, we need to cast out. Saving our soul, renewing our soul. Renew your mind with the Word. It could be that right now you're going through a financial struggle. Right now you could be in a pickle. But Jesus Christ paid a price. But God the Father said that we are blessed with our father Abraham. And if Abraham told him, I will bless you and you will be a blessing, then that promises applies to you and myself. So what do I have to do to be able to change tangibly in that promise? First, see it, study, meditate on that promise. Give thanks to the Lord and consecrate your life and said, Father, you have told me, you have promised in your word that I am blessing, that I am blessed to bless. And my heart is willing to be of a blessing. Sometimes, have we trusted in our finances, in our strength, than Jesus Christ? We have trusted more in our income than Jesus Christ. But when we trust the Lord, dedicate and consecrate our life to Him, and we consecrate our wallets, then we're ready to be a blessing. And everything begins listening to the Word, consecrating, and acting on it. And right now you can say, I don't have it. Just so, I don't have it. But the Lord tells you, He gives seed to the one who sows. Begin to see yourself as a sower. See it in your heart. Put an image that you are a sower. Because we saw it on Tuesday. If we don't sow, we can't harvest. But if we sow, we harvest. If He gives us seed to sow and bread to eat, then I have to see myself as seed through me. What I'm going to sow and give today, it needs to speak life over that. It needs to speak blessing over that seed. And see yourself as a sower, as someone ready to sow. Then we will have abundance in all good work. And the moment will come in that image. And this project that we're doing in the projects that we've had are going to be fulfilled quickly, and quickly we'll be able to go to a bigger project. Give me the image of the platform, please. Because when we see an image in our heart, when we see it constantly, provision will come. You'll say, I belong to this. This is mine. There's a spirit of belonging somewhere. This is for me. And if I participate from this, then I will also be participate of this. How many people will be able to reach? We need to obtain cameras. How many people are we going to reach for the Lord? Like Sister Juanita this morning. We love the Lord. And we want the souls to be saved for the Lord. But you know what? They do it with a heart. And they don't regret sowing all of their life in the Lord. Didn't see how much they would be missing, but how many more they would increase for the kingdom, and that the Lord will be their response. One of the times that I was over in Tempe, in Guadalupe, Arizona, he would go into work at 3 a.m. cutting lettuce at evening. And there was times where they said they would give all check right there where he lived. He built it with copy. There are people who love the Lord. We love the Lord, you and I, in that way that we can release ourselves because we believe that we're blessed to bless. And we're in that state right now that our wallet is now our God, but God is our God. Amen? In Him needs to be our trust, and that the Lord will make that our seed multiplies. We never lose with the Lord. We never lose with Him. Glory to God. Be on your feet with me. Glory to the Lord. We praise you, Lord. This is something spiritual, something true, that has truth in it. Right now, see your seed to what you're going to sow. The offering that you're having before the Lord. Maybe it doesn't supply the need that you have right now, but it will. It can turn into the seed to produce the fruit of what you have. If you're believing the Lord for your car, maybe sow a payment of a car for a brother in church. If you're believing the Lord to renew your house, right now see that you're renewing our children's room. Right now, sow a seed that goes with what you want to harvest. And if there is no harvest, and if there is no project, just name your seed, because it's interchanging it. Just meditate on the word. Put an image in your heart of the promises. Lord, I give thanks for every offering presented to you. Every seed that is being sown. Right now, that everybody presents, whoever is presenting their tithes, and that tithing is a protection that protects their seed. I speak a multiplication over life, over seed, over the life of every person they have deposited. I speak a multiplication, the laws of sowing and harvest in operation in their lives, and they see it evidently because they connect their faith with that seed. It's not an envelope. It's not a bill. It's something tangible in the Lord that produces abundant harvest. In the name of Jesus, I give you thanks. We see it in our lives. And we believe it by faith. We receive it by faith. Say it with me. I consecrate my life. I dedicate my life. I commit my life to the Lord. And I believe I receive clarity, direction, instruction, correction, and revelation. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Seek from the Lord, and that will be evident in your life. I bless you, and I speak the favor of God over your lives. A divine protection. No adversity shall come to the righteous, and no arm against you will come and prosper. You're blessed in your exit and blessed in your entrance with the authority of Jesus.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight.
or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it, and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your Word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.